Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. As we talk about the New Testament church this morning, I want to talk about the rules of admission. What are the terms of membership? What is it that a person must do to enter into the kingdom of heaven, to enter into the Lord's church? So we're going to talk about those rules or terms of admission this morning from God's Word, and I'm glad that you're here with us. I would hope that after hearing what God's Word says, after we let the Bible speak to these matters, that we would want to follow these terms or these rules of admission and come into the Lord's church. That's our goal. And if I can help you to do that, please let me help you to do that. A lot of times we will be a member of a particular organization or a group, and we have to do something to enter into that organization and maintain our current status in that organization. It could be money dues that are paid. It could be certain things that we have to, material that we might have to read and learn. We might have to agree to follow some rules. We might have to agree to show up a certain number of times each year or volunteer to do this or that. A lot of different organizations, school organizations, business organizations, community organizations will all have some sort of terms of membership or rules of admission, and we understand that very easily. Maybe you have been a member of some sort of a group or organization, and you've been required to do something to enter in and then maintain that membership. Well, the same is true with the Lord's church, and we want to study that this morning. Jesus in Matthew 16, 18 said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." It belongs to him. Local churches, Romans 16, 16, were called churches of Christ. They belong to Christ. And so the church is built by him. It belongs to him. So he has the right and the authority to stipulate the rules of admission, to lay down the terms of membership. He has all authority, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And so these rules or terms of admission are set forth by the Lord, and they are recorded in the New Testament. Another very important principle that we need to talk about right here at the beginning of our lesson is that we do not have the right to come along and change those rules or terms of admission. We don't have the right to go through and say, well, we don't need to do this, or we need to do something extra that is not found in the Word of God. We have been forbidden by God in the Scripture to tamper with the instructions, to tamper with the terms or the rules of membership. In the Old Testament Israel was told not to add to or take from the Word of God, Deuteronomy 4:2. At the very end of the New Testament, Revelation 22:18 and 19, do not add to or take from the message that was given there by John. We're not to preach another gospel, Galatians 1:6 through 9. We are not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. And we could mention other passages and principles. But we're not to tamper with the rules of admission. Whatever they are laid forth by Jesus and his apostles, we must do that. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. So, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that Jesus mentioned in his ministry, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he mentioned during his earthly ministry that there would be things that a person must do to enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. I want to talk about that a little bit, and then I want to show how that was carried out, particularly in the book of Acts. And we can see then the rules of admission or the terms of membership. Before Jesus died during his earthly ministry, I want to mention three different things here. This is not an exhaustive list. There's other things that could be mentioned, but I just simply wanted to mention these three things about Jesus and just illustrating that there is a rule something that must be done before entering into the kingdom of heaven. In John chapter 3, when he was talking with Nicodemus, Jesus said, "Except one be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Except you do this, you cannot, look at that, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is clearly a rule of admission. You have to be born of water, baptism, and the Spirit, obeying the words of the Spirit. That's something that Jesus laid down. And you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you do this. On another occasion, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Except you turn and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God." To turn, to make a change. The old King James says, be converted. The idea of going one direction and turning around and going another direction, having a change of heart that leads to a change of life, a change of mind that leads to a change of life. And so we call it conversion. Sometimes the word repentance is used. So, except you do this, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, you've got to be born again. Number two, you've got to turn around. Here's another example in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." You've got to do the Father's will. Now, Jesus proclaimed the Father's will. The Father's will is laid down in the Old Testament for Old Testament Israel. But for us today, in the New Testament, Jesus laid down the Father's will. His apostles, when he went back into heaven, his apostles went into all the world and laid down the Father's will from Acts through Revelation. And so it's recorded on the pages of the New Testament. The Father's will, what God wants us to do to be saved and stay saved. Notice in all three of these cases, Jesus said, enter into the kingdom. Entrance into the kingdom is conditioned upon being born of water and spirit, turning, changing, and doing the Father's will. Enter into. That lets us know that there are terms of entrance. There are terms of admission or entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That's how we get in. And the same is true today. You want to join a club or some organization, and you go to the people and you say, what does it take for me to get in? Does it take a pledge? Does it take something else? And so the same thing for God's spiritual kingdom, which is people who have submitted to God. And the kingdom is also the church in the New Testament. And so we find out in order to enter into. So if we're outside and we want to enter into, we have to do these things. So even in the Gospels, Jesus laid down these kinds of things. Now, one more thing before we move to the book of Acts. When we get to the book of Acts, we're going to find that men and women did some things. There were five things that were mentioned that they did. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. But what's interesting about these same five things is that Jesus mentioned these same five things. So even before you get to the book of Acts, you have these kinds of things mentioned. Now, for each of these, obviously, there's many passages in the Gospels that we could turn to. I'm just going to give one illustration for each of these five things. First of all, with regard to terms of admission or terms of membership, rules of admission, Jesus said, you've got to hear the word of God. And in Luke chapter 8, when he's talking about the parable of the sower, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 9 and following, he says, the seed is the word of God. And then he talks about these different people who hear the word of God. And if we need to be the good and honest heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit. We've got to hear the word of God. Jesus also said that once we hear the word of God, We've got to believe that message. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Believe. Paul writes in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once we hear the word of God, we've got to have faith in it. We've got to believe this message that we're being taught, whether it's about Jesus or anything. And believe is used a lot in the Gospel of John. Jesus said and did things and worked miracles in order for people to believe. And when we believe, we can have life in his name. So we've got to hear the word of God. We've got to believe the word of God and believe the message. And we've got to be willing to turn from our sins. And that's what the word repentance means. A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people are fine with, well, if I need to listen a little bit to the word of God, that's fine. But if you're asking me to change my life, I don't know if I want to do that. We've got to change our life. We've got to turn around in that life of sin and start doing better. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, and then again in verse 5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so turning around, changing our life, we've got to hear the word of God. We've got to believe it. We've got to repent and turn our life around. Then we've got to make a public confession that we identify with Jesus Christ. We've got to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We can't be a secret disciple. We can't be a secret follower. We've got to be willing to tell others, I stand with Jesus. I believe that he's the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one and appointed one. And I follow him. I believe in him. I follow him. We've got to confess that to others. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so we've got to be willing to confess with our mouth. That's what the word confess means, to say with, to speak with Jesus, to be on his side and identify with him. And then we've got to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. I already mentioned John 3:5, where Jesus said, you must be born of water. We've got to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins in order to have salvation. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus told his apostles to go preach the gospel to the whole creation. And then he said, he that believeth, I just mentioned that, and is baptized shall be saved. But he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. He that believeth and is baptized. Not just believe only or faith only. In the denominations today, when somebody says you can enter into the kingdom or enter into the church by faith only, they have changed the terms or the rules of admission. When some churches say that you can be baptized as an infant and enter into the kingdom, they have changed the rules of admission. Okay? So, if you were to go in Clarksville or somewhere in Montgomery County or wherever you're listening and you were just to pull up to some church somewhere, often the rules of admission have been changed. You simply want to get back to the Bible. You can trust the Bible. But when you go and you talk with all kinds of different denominational pastors and preachers and reverends and priests and so forth, they have all different kinds of terms of membership or rules of admission. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 28, when he was sending again the apostles into all the world, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And then we have this last thing, and that is, we've got to hear the word of God. We've got to believe the word of God. We've got to repent of our sins. We've got to confess Jesus. We've got to be baptized for the remission of our sins. And we've got to continue following faithfully the commandments of the Lord. This is what Jesus said in the Gospels. Now, when we turn to the book of Acts, we're going to find the exact same thing. The apostles didn't go into all the world and change the rules of admission. They didn't do that. They laid down exactly what Jesus said in his ministry, and they laid down exactly what the Holy Spirit, guiding them into all the truth, wanted them to say. So let's come now and let's look at the book of Acts. And we're going to see, number one, people were born again. Number two, we're going to see people turned around and they changed their life. Number three, we're going to see that people did the Father's will. So let's take a look at that with regard to the book of Acts. When people obeyed the gospel, they were admitted into the Lord's church. When people were baptized for the remission of their sins, they were admitted into the Lord's church. If we are outside the Lord's church, we need to enter into the kingdom on Jesus' terms, on the apostles' terms. And I want to encourage you to do that so that we can be saved in the last day. So let's start with Acts chapter 2. And I might not have time to mention all of these this morning, but there's actually 10 cases of conversion that you can read about in the book of Acts. And you can read where these hearing the word of God, believing the word of God, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus, being baptized from sin, being baptized for the remission of sins from that old past life, and then living that Christian life. You'll see exactly that in the book of Acts. And these 10 different cases of conversion record various elements of that. And so we see that Jesus' terms of admission or rules of admission are being carried out in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, there was the preaching of the word of God. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost with the other apostles. And then in verse 37, Acts 2:37, when they heard this, hearing the word of God, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They clearly believed the message. That's why they're wanting to change. And Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, or for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you and to your children is this promise, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. And with many other words he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Added. Look at that. Added. If you come down a few verses to verse 47, and the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved. Added to what or to whom? Added to the body of Christ. Added to the first church. And so we begin to see that these terms of membership or rules of admission are being carried out now. People are hearing the word of God. They're believing the word of God. They're admitting that they're wrong. They're confessing. They are repenting. They're being baptized. Okay? And the Lord is adding them. I want to make a very important point here, and that is, in the New Testament and in the book of Acts, when someone was baptized for the remission of their sins, the Lord added them to the body of saved. It was automatic. You're not baptized into Christ and then some separate thing later to join the church. Now, we're going to talk about joining a local body of Christians in just a minute. But you're automatically put into the body of Christ by the Lord. When you obey the gospel, ending in baptism, the Lord adds you to the body of the saved. And friend, you need to do that. You need to repent and be baptized. I did that. Others have done that. And we're so glad and thankful and blessed that we did. And what a great relationship it is to be added to the Lord's body. Another example, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 8, when Philip goes down to Samaria and is preaching there, we find that the Samaritans, they heard the word of God and they believed that. So in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, they are hearing the word of God. Then in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the good tidings of the kingdom, so they heard it, they believed it, and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, beholding the signs and great miracles, he was amazed. And so they hear the word of God, and they believe the word of God. You come on down to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 35. So again, the preaching and the hearing of the word of God. There's always preaching first. There's always the hearing of the word of God first. And then in verse 36, and they went on their way. They came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached the gospel to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So again, preaching first and hearing. But this Ethiopian eunuch heard the preaching of Jesus, believed it, confessed that he believed that Jesus is the Son of God. He was baptized. He went on his way rejoicing. Why? Same thing as Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptism washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. And of course, we're going to rejoice at having our sins washed away. You could come down to Acts chapter 9 and read about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He hears the words of Jesus. He believes those words when he's told to go into Damascus. If you read Acts chapter 22 and verse 10, he says to Jesus, what will you have me, Lord, what will you have me to do? He accepted that Jesus was his Lord and confessed that. He repented in that he was neither eating nor drinking for 3 days, and he was praying. He's clearly changing his life. This shows repentance. And of course, Ananias baptizes him. And Ananias says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Acts 22:16. So Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26 speak of the conversion of the Saul of Tarsus. You could turn with me to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Peter shows up in Acts chapter 10 and begins to preach the word of God to him in Acts 10:34. And then in Acts 10:43, everyone that believes on him shall have remission of sins. So there's hearing, there's belief mentioned here, and they are baptized, verse 48. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. What's interesting is when Peter is talking about this later in Acts chapter 11 and verse 13, he says that he was talking to some Jews about how that he had been in the household of Cornelius, and he told them that story, and these Jews glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also has God granted repentance unto life. So even repentance is found in the conversion of the household of Cornelius. So that's a great thing. In the case of Lydia, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Lydia and her household are baptized into Christ after hearing Paul preach. The jailer in Acts chapter 16 is hearing about Jesus. Paul and Silas preached Jesus unto him, and he and his household are baptized into Christ. They believe those things, and they're baptized into Christ. Paul told the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus. And somebody says, well, there it is, faith alone. No, you keep reading. He was baptized immediately in the same hour of the night. The same thing that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you have to read the whole story. And we don't want to change the terms of membership. We don't want to change the rules of admission. So Lydia and her household, and with regard to the jailer, he repented in that the text says that he washed their stripes. He's the one that had beat Paul and Silas earlier. Now he's washing their stripes. He is showing that he has changed. And he greatly rejoiced. This obviously shows that he had forgiveness of sins or the remission of sins. You can come with me to Acts chapter 18 and the conversion of the Corinthians. Acts 18:18, after Paul had preached there, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Notice that. And then last of all, in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, some who had been following John the Baptist, they heard Paul preach about the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized into his name. All of these begin with the preaching of the Word of God, and they end with being baptized. And then, of course, they would join other Christians. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, Paul wanted to join himself to the Christians in Jerusalem. So being baptized into Christ, the Lord adds you to the body of Christians universal. You can make the decision to work and worship with a local group of Christians, and you can make that decision to join yourself with other Christians, Acts 9:26. Friends, my plea this morning, if you are outside the kingdom, to enter into the kingdom by the rules of admission set forth by Jesus and his apostles in the New Testament. I don't want to change those rules to make it easier or harder or modify it for modern day culture. I don't want to change the rules to go along with some denominational belief or something that is taught in seminary. I simply want to tell you those rules of admission as they are laid down in the Word of God. Let me help you follow those rules. Let me help you meet those terms of admission, and you'll be so glad that you entered into the kingdom of heaven. If I can help you do that, please contact us. I thank you for being with us today, and I hope that you'll have a good day.